such a sweet blessing to be here with y'all. Let me get a good look at you. Good looking congregation. Thankful to be here with you. What a privilege it is to come and serve you this morning. On behalf of your pastor, I spoke to him yesterday evening as he was traveling. He was about an hour from Nashville, but after you get off the phone, two preachers, he was pretty close by the time we got off the phone talking. But he sends his love to you, misses you, loves you. I know we appreciate your prayers. So does Brother John Mark and Brother David. Please pray for Brother David Berryhill that is filling in for me. The network of Primitive Baptist preachers. For this preacher to go here, this preacher goes here, this preacher goes here. So pray for them and all their networking that goes on to go and serve God's people. It is truly a blessing to be here with you. It is a privilege to be here at Providence Primitive Baptist Church. And your pastor's confidence in me, I told him I greatly appreciate that, to God the glory, and your confidence allowing me to be here to fill in for him is a great blessing. It's a blessing to go be a day laborer when you go serve God's people. But to the pastor, it's a tugging of his heart. Brother Mark is very thankful to go serve Bethel in Nashville. But he loves you, and he misses you. He made that remark several times in our phone conversation. So please keep him in your prayers. Very thankful for him. Thankful for you. Let's get to work. In your 1611 King James translation, please turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Excuse me, nerves. I've got to have a sip of water. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has left Ephraim, the area that is north of Jerusalem. It is in northeast Judea, and he is traveling north through Samaria and Galilee, but this is going to be his last visit there, as captured in Scripture by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is on his way to Jerusalem. He's headed north to Samaria, Galilee, but this is going to be his last time there, because he's going to be headed back south to Jerusalem. Why? For his children. He's saving his people from their sins. So notice that in Scripture. He's headed north, but he's headed to Jerusalem. And it is in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were they're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I have people ask me that I work with, people that I associate with, a lot of times it's all about work, What are congregation sizes like nowadays? And I said, well, we're thankful for those that attend. And we are very thankful. Certainly we've got room for more. But I tell people, I pray that the Lord continues to bless me to preach to the 10%. And they get some strange looks. The 10%, you don't want more? Oh, I'd love to see folks excited to be in the house of the Lord. There's a lot of allurements, a lot of things that attract folks and get their eyes off of where it needs to be. Thank you. On the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, let me help you out. You're starting your week out just right where you're supposed to be. And you're the 10%. And I'm thankful to preach to the 10%. Brother, what are you talking about? Let's get to work. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is passing through this area. And again, he's on his way to Jerusalem, but he's headed north in the opposite direction of Jerusalem. But this is going to be his last time to pass through this region of Samaria and Galilee. He's in the midst, it says, the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Diamison in the Greek. That means that he is in the middle. He's kind of on the border of the two as he's traveling between Samaria and Galilee. And as required of lepers at this time, they stood at a distance, 10 of them, 10 men were told. And they lift up their voices and they shout, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The master teacher, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, often uses common things in order to teach his lessons. Things that we see every day. Little children, trees, birds, sheep, shepherds, sowers, bread. He uses those things, common things of every day, to teach lessons to his disciples, to his children. But he also uses real encounters with real people, with real problems, with real situations that they're experiencing in life. We see him with those that are ill. We see him with those that have lost a loved one, with death. And so our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will use not only common things of everyday life, of his creation, but he also uses real encounters with real people to teach and communicate spiritual truths to us. Daily events that are common to every day. And this is not an odd scene here. 10 lepers up on a hill. On their way to Jerusalem, on Jesus Christ's way to Jerusalem, he's going to encounter them. And they're going to lift up their voice. They're going to stand afar off because that's what's required of them as being lepers. And they're going to say, "Jesus, Master." They've heard about him. They've heard about Jesus, the Master. They've heard and they cry out to him for mercy. These are outcasts from society. You have no company to hang out with except other lepers, if you're a leper. You don't have family. You don't have social interaction. You don't have holidays together. You don't have any interaction with your family. Think about that for a little bit, what that would feel like as a leper. So how fortunate it is if you find other lepers to hang out with, and there would be lepers that would make up a colony together. And so these 10 are traveling together. Now, there's one that's the odd man out. He's a Samaritan. So to be a Samaritan to the Jew, you're already, in their mind, you're an outcast. So if you're a Samaritan in a colony of lepers that are Jews, you're an outcast of the outcast. You understand what I'm saying? And so here they are. We're going to read about the 10 of them, and then the one that's going to return back to his Savior and speak to him is very importantly told to us is a Samaritan. So this white scaled skin disease called leprosy, very highly contagious, and if you do contract this disease, then you are required by God's law to live apart. You're to live outside the camp. You're to warn others when they approach you that you are unclean. What it means to be a leper, it means separation, is what it means. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 13. Just very quickly. You don't know me, I give homework. I'm giving homework right now. It'll be your homework to read Leviticus 13 and 14, but we're not going to read all of that right now. I want to capture a couple of passages here to capture your mind. Trust we're following the Spirit of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Leviticus chapter 13 and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab, a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague of the skin in the skin of the flesh. According to the law, lepers were, if you thought you had this disease, you go to the priest and you get examined. Verse 45 and 46. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. You read about this in Numbers chapter 5 also. So they have a responsibility of keeping themselves separate. They have a responsibility to protect others from themselves. And when someone is walking up to you and you have leprosy, you're to let them know by saying, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine the looks that a leper would get? You all remember that thing called COVID? That happened. Remember when it'd just be a tickle in your throat and you would cough? Boy, you'd get some stabs. You know, how dare you cough? You know what I'm talking about. How dare you cough in public? You know, if you just got a tickle in your throat and you go, I mean, you'd get stabs. Are you 6 feet from me? Imagine this with leprosy. Unclean, unclean. I would have to say to you, as you walked up to me, I would have to stand afar off. Here's the mindset of these men, the 10 men that have heard of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us, they cry out. You have to quarantine from society. You have to stand afar off. It's highly infectious. No friends other than other lepers that are in your colony. If you have a group of those folks that are sick like you, you're an outcast. Also with this, there would be sometimes disfigurement in your appearance, possibly. Something happened. So imagine the physical, being sick, the emotional that you're going through with society. You know how mean people can be in society, don't you? If you're a little bit different, if there's something that's going on a little bit different with someone, people ridicule, they make fun of, they got the stairs. And that causes emotional distress. And so can you imagine what that does to your sense of self and your separation and your isolation in your life? You're lonely. But can you imagine what it feels like to be clean? See, if you recover from this disease, Leviticus 14 tells how you go back before the priest. And he checks you out. He checks that spot out that you had. But there's no need to go back to him until you're clean, until you see healing. There's no need to go back. If you're a leprous person and you're still battling that disease, you know what the priest has said, and so you live in that isolation that's there. So these 10 men, they call Jesus Christ out by name. Another part of your homework would be to read about Moses' sister, Miriam, to read about Naaman, the Syrian commander. And he was known as Naaman the leper. Imagine that if you had that tagged on to your name. You know, Paul the leper, Hugh the leper. If you had that, that's what you're known by, is that. And so they call him by name. They're driven by a sense of need, and they cry out to Jesus Christ for mercy. Word has traveled fast, no doubt. They've heard about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ healed a man not too long ago that was full of leprosy. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we read very quickly, verse 12, and it came to pass in Luke 5 and 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy who seen Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, you can do it if it's thy will. Sounds like a child of grace, doesn't it? And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, Leviticus 14, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of him of their infirmities. The plight of this man, he's full of leprosy. And so are all spiritual lepers, with our leprosy of sin. Full of it. We're infected by the disease of sin. This disease that this man has, leprosy, is a living death. And his prayer of faith, he besought Jesus, and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Confidence. Lord, you can. If it's thy will, Lord, you can. Do you pray that way? Lord, I know you can. I know this crooked way right now before me, you can make it straight. I know the mountain before me, you can make it the plain before me if it's thy will. And Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, he's got confidence in that power of Jesus Christ. He shows his submission to his authority. The man says, if you will, he trusts in his ability, he bows in humility before God's sovereignty. And Jesus Christ does the absolute no-no to man. He touches him. You don't touch a person with leprosy. Jesus Christ can speak it and heal, but Jesus Christ touches him. He put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. Jesus Christ, his power, he could have healed him by command. But to show us his mind of compassion to the untouchable, he touches. To the untouchable, he touches. He goes to Calvary in our place and in our stead, the untouchable with sin, this holy thing. And he takes our sin debt away. He goes in our place and in our stead. This gesture, this man's healed of his plague. He's got comfort to his soul. He's physically healed. His soul is comforted. And Jesus Christ, in accord with the law of Moses, now go offer the ceremonial cleansing, the prescribed sacrifices that need to be followed. You see, this whole theme of chapter 5 here, here's the summation of it. There's going to be all sorts of healings that you're going to read about. But Jesus Christ says in Luke 5 and 31, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this one that opened the eyes of the blind is still opening eyes that are blinded by sin. This one that opened deaf ears is still ministering to those to give them ears to hear the truth of Almighty God. And this one that cleansed lepers is still cleaning the leprous hearts of his sinful people today. The one that raised the ones from the dead is still speaking a life-giving voice to those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. Effectually and irresistibly, he speaks to them. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. These men, I believe, have heard about Jesus, and they call out to him, and they say to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, they hope that he might have mercy on them. Pity them. Be gracious to them also, that he might have mercy on them. You see, there's no other option for them. This is it. This is it. There's no other option that they have. Can you imagine the story behind the story? We've been given exactly what we need, but you hear that Jesus is coming. You hear that he's passing by this place, and you go and you stand afar off. How far is afar? Far enough to where he could holler to him and have a conversation. This is it. We've got to get to him. Their request is based on an awareness that they have that unless this master intercedes, they're going to remain in this condition. Listen to me. True prayer comes from a sense of need. True praise comes from a sense of gratitude. And these men, in their true sense of their need that they have, they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Be honest, are you needy? I am. Don't go ask Sister Becky. I've already told you that I am, okay? You don't have to ask her. She would be very sweet and go, no, I am. Let's just cut to the chase. Aren't you thankful that our God is in tune with needy people? The very last verse of the 40th division of the Psalms from the sweet psalmist David. David says, but I am poor and needy. This is King David speaking. King David says, me, I am poor and I'm needy. Yet the Lord thinketh on me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, my God. I'm poor and I'm needy. I'm poor and I'm needy. Yet the Lord thinketh on me. If you ever go through life and go, well, nobody thought about me this week. Poor as me. Nobody called to check on me. They may not have. I'm sorry that they didn't. But the Lord thought about you. You're always on his mind. Because he loves you with an everlasting love. He gave his very best to go in your place and in your stead at Calvary to pay your sin debt in full. Oh yeah, the Lord thinketh on you. Because you're expensive. Bought and paid for with the precious blood of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, his darling son. And he thinketh upon us. He hears us when we cry. And these men have a sense of need. All true prayer comes from a sense of need. And how glorious is it that our Father knows what we stand in need of before we ever go to him in prayer. But what a blessing it is to speak into our Heavenly Father. The God of creation, wrap your mind about around that. The God of creation, Jesus Christ says, is your Father. He's my Father and he's your Father. You can call the God of creation Elohim. You can call Jehovah the Lord. He is the Lord, Jehovah. When you see that in all caps in God's word, capital L-O-R-D. The transcribers are saying that's Jehovah. He's the covenant-keeping God. He's the covenant-making and the covenant-keeping God. And then when you see God, G-O-D, he's Elohim. Jesus Christ says, Jehovah, thy Elohim. I'm telling you, you can call him Father. You know why? Because you've been adopted into the family of God. I'm the only begotten of the Son. You can call him Father. Do you feel need? How is the Spirit of God shown to you your uncleanness and your need when you have a true recognition of self like these men are having? And the blessing is going to come in the pathway of obedience right here. There's no medicine, there's no touch, there's no rebuke, there's no command for the disease to depart. He gives them a verbal prescription. He says, go show yourselves unto the priest. They're lepers. Go show yourselves unto the priest. They don't go, but Lord. They just, in obedience, they go. And they're healed on the way. Wrap your brain around that. Jesus Christ says, go. And they take off. I'm telling you, you're seeing faith working right here in obedience. These are 10 children of God that Jesus Christ is speaking to here. But there's a 90% and there's a 10%. But they're all children of God. And so he gives them the prescription. Go show yourselves to the priest and capture this. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. On the way, picture us, brethren, that we're headed to the priest. Jesus has said, go. I look over at John Anthony. John Anthony looks at me and goes, brother, your face is clear. John Anthony, your hand is clean. Brother Paul, you look good. You got the skin of a baby. And we're being healed while we're headed to go see the priest. This is what's happening. Imagine the conversation that's going on. That they're looking at one another. We've had these things over our lips covering our mouth. Brother Paul, pull it down. Brother Hugh, am I clean? Yeah, you are. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But one of them stops. Blessing comes in the pathway of obedience. The healing came as the path of unquestioning obedience takes place. Faith is heard here. Faith heard hope here in his word, and they dared to believe Jesus the Master. And when they arrive at the priest, they're going to be cleansed, and there's good news that's going to await them. Can you imagine you hadn't seen your family, and the priest goes, "Wow, you're clean. Paul, you're clean. John Anthony, you're clean. Brother Riley, y'all are all clean. Let's do all the sacrifices that need to be done. You can go be back with your family again." Wow. That you've been living as an outcast, and now you're clean. Somewhere along the way, they're all miraculously healed. The cure came as they did what Jesus Christ instructed them to do. Obedience to his commands. Discipleship demands it. Faith takes Jesus Christ at his word. Go back with me to Luke chapter 5. You know what fishermen don't like, men that fish? They don't like to be told how to fish, particularly when they're not catching any fish. You know I'm telling the truth. All right? Preacher, ouch. Well, I'm telling the truth. But you don't. You don't like to tell. If a deer hunter hadn't killed anything, don't tell him how to hunt. Because let me tell you what he's doing in his mind. He's going, And a fisherman that hadn't been catching any fish, and you say, "Well, you know, you've been using the long lure." He may be looking at you going, "Thank you." But his fleshly side is going, Cry. Jesus Christ comes upon Peter and his fishing buddies. And they hadn't had any luck fishing. Jesus Christ says, "Simon," in verse 4, "launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." Okay, Jesus Christ doesn't need an update, nor God. So when you pray to him, you're not telling, he doesn't go, "Well, Brother Hugh, I didn't know that about you." You're giving him no update about you. He knows all about you, your thoughts, everything that goes on. But listen to what he says in obedience. "We've toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." That is obedience and faith. "Nevertheless, Lord, I'll let the net down." And guess what? Biggest catch they've ever had. Biggest catch they've ever had. So, back to our account, and we're running out of time. Faith takes Jesus Christ at his word, and now this gratitude is going to express itself in action, this verbal praise. There's one Samaritan. There's nine Jews. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus Christ answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? That's a sobering question from our Savior. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? I preach to the 10%. Thank you for your attendance today. It's a reasonable service, isn't it? Isn't it reasonable? To come to the house of God in gratitude to him. That's where true praise comes from, is gratitude. And to thank him and to praise him. And that's what this one man does. There's a painter by the name, he's gone on to be with the Lord, I trust, James Christensen. And he was known as a fantasy religious artist. And it's not my cup of tea. Fantasy art and all that kind of stuff like that. But there's one painting of his called The Ten Lepers that caught my eye in 2002 when it came out. And this was before preaching. You say, Brother Hugh, I didn't know that you liked art. Well, when I was in school, I had to take art classes for architecture. They used to make you do that. You had to have your buildings that you designed were to be as art. I don't know about that now. But we had to take art classes, and I was one of those guys. I hid doing it. But you have the big piece of paper and the charcoal. We would get sent out in art class to go around campus and go do that. And I was going, this is going to kill my reputation. Going around. Hillbilly like me. But anyway, I appreciate different things of art, and I've got a weird taste. I can go through Bucky's and see a bison and a flag of the United States, and the stars are bullet shells, and I'll go, I like that. I want to put that in the house. And Becky goes, no. But James Christensen painted this, and it's called The Ten Lepers. Don't go by it, because it's not biblically correct, because it shows these ten lepers in their tattered clothes, coverings on their mouth. I buy that, but they have noisemakers on their staff. That's not in Scripture. That's a fantasy art thing. That was in the medieval times, yes. Lepers that were still around, they had to have bells and whistles and things also. But in this biblical time, it was, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And this caught my attention when it came out in 2002. I was in a reception area, and there was a magazine there, and somebody had left it open, and I looked. Because I was going, that looks like what I was just reading of. And it's the ten lepers. And there's ten of them in the picture. Nine of them are all headed in the same direction. And they're looking at one another. They're holding up their hands. They're looking, smiling at one another. You know, the look of joy on their faces. You know, saying, John Anthony, you're clean. Brother Hugh, you look all right. You look good. But there's one. There's one that's standing back. And he's pulled the covering down off his face. And he's standing there like this, like he's been looking at his hands. But he's doing this. 10 went and did exactly as they were required to do and go to the priest. But one, instead of saying, look at me, I'm clean, one looked and said, look at God. Look what he just did for me. One of them said, look at God. He's amazed. But he stops in his tracks, and he's looking back, and he goes, not only did he heal me, he healed them. I got to get back to him. I got to get to him. And this is what happened. And one of them, 10% if I'm doing the math right, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And by the way, he was a Samaritan.
an outcast.
You see, God's grace goes to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. His everlasting love to his elect family. And this Samaritan turns around and goes back and falls on his face at Jesus' feet in an act of worship, but he's also trying to get as physically low as he possibly can before his God. I love being in a church service where folks are trying to get as low as they possibly can. To God the glory at Providence Primitive Baptist Church, that when you meet and when you do things together, God is the object of your worship. Nothing else. Nothing else is more important than the cause of Christ. And so this man, I want to get at his feet, and he does. I want to get to the one that's most high. I want to humbly get to him. And I want to thank him. Let me tell you what's happened here. This man has changed his course, literally, from where he turns, and he turns around and goes back. And he's also set his course for his life. Do you know that when you join the Old Baptist Church, you set your course? You said, I want to be identified with my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ and his house, his church. This is my family. This is it. Somebody asked me, why don't you go to family reunions? I go every Sunday. I don't go to family reunions that people set on a Sunday. I tell them, I'm 60 years old now. I try to put as much icing on it. I want my words to be seasoned with grace. But I go, y'all would be ashamed of yourself having that. Every one of them need to be in the house of the Lord. Oop, don't invite the preacher again. But why are you setting it on a Sunday? Ever thought about that? Well, they have that tournament. It's on a Sunday. Why don't they have it on a Monday? Well, we got to go work on Monday. Oh, you do? Huh. Interesting. Why don't do it? Why don't you take off work? It's easier to take off from the Lord's house? I'll let you evaluate that. Preacher, preacher, preacher. Ouch. Well, I'm speaking the truth, aren't I? So, here this man is, this leper. He falls down on his face at the feet of Jesus, and he's a Samaritan. Jesus says, Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger, the 10%. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, all the lepers were cleansed, and all the children of God are equally cleansed of their sins through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But not all are diligent to return back and say, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your diligence. I don't know how much time I got left. People have been picking on me hard this week since I joined the 60 Club this week. People at work and everything else, guys messing with me. How much time do I have left? I have no idea. I'm thankful for my daily bread. I'm thankful for today to be at Providence Primitive Baptist Church. I'm thankful for today. I'm certainly hope and pray for next Sunday. I hope the Lord allowed me to preach this glorious gospel message to his people to proclaim it as long as he'll put a breath in me to go do it. There's nothing sweeter than to hear about my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ and have the privilege to tell folks as the Lord blesses about it. Not anything any grander or greater. But you see, there's coming a day of reality that these old bodies and everything are getting older and depreciating. And it's going to get harder and harder to get out. My wife's not here because Sister Shirley wants to go to church, and we make sure Sister Shirley can go to church. My mom and dad can still drive up the road about 5-10 minutes and make it to church. They don't drive anywhere else. I'm their chauffeur. But I allow them to do that. because there's nothing more important to them than the cause of Christ. So while you've got the ability and while you can, serve Him. Worship Him with everything you've got in you while you can. And I hope and pray that hearts are burdened by every cleansed child of grace to find his or herself in their place on the Lord's day. I appreciate you having your seats. Pastors like that when it's almost like assigned seats. Primitive Baptists sit in the same seat. And if a visitor comes and sitting in their seat, just threw everything completely off. Yes, you have your place that you're here. But how you worship is at the feet of Jesus. That you come understanding what our Savior said, that the object of our worship is God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We come here thanking Him for His mercy, and we give glory to God. We say, Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from my sins. Lord, thank you for saving me from hell to heaven by my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for all the incredible blessings that you've bestowed upon me in this life, that you blessed me to know and to understand the truth, that song that we sing, Jesus paid it all, you better believe it, He paid it all. He did it, every bit. All Him, none me. A leper. One that proclaims unclean, unclean. But now we're cleansed and we're clean. And we have the imputed righteousness of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So when you hear that Brother Hugh says that he preaches to the 10%, you'll know what that means. Sure, I wish it was 100%. Love for the house to be full. But I'm not going to pine myself away with that. I'm just going to keep on trying to be an example. I'm going to keep trying to encourage folks to come to the house of the Lord. I'm going to encourage sheep that wander off to come back. I'm going to tell them we love you. If you know of a sheep that's been missing for a while and they go, well, everybody's going to look at me funny when I walk back. Well, yeah, if you've been missing for a while and you show back up, it's going to be shocking, but it won't last for long. Let me tell you about old Baptists. They'll be hugging you. They love you. Encourage somebody to come to church with you. Tell them the good news. Not to get them to heaven, just to share the good news of the glorious gospel that I've been cleansed. Look at me. No, don't look at me. Look at Him. It's what in that painting. That's what that one leper was saying. Don't look at me. You look at Him. He's the God of glory. Any blessing in it, you give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Any confusion, that'll belong to Brother Hugh, and I'm sorry. Any boredom, confusion, whatever, that's mine. I pray that the Lord will bless you. Don't forget to do your homework. And lift the banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ up high when you leave this place. You lifted it up high walking in. Get it higher on the way out the door next week. Because you are salt and you are light. And we're here for His glory. God bless you, is my prayer.